ki jai.
Jai.
Ananta koti, Vaishnava vrinda ki jai. Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Rishi Gaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhuni Shyamananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasa, Gaurava vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopina Shamakun, Radhakun, Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathura Dham ki jai, Navadvipa Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai, Yamuna Mayi ki jai, Ganga Mayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Gopurinandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padai, Krishna Prasthana, Vishnu, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharani, Nibhashesha, Sinvedi Bhakti Jadi, Sitarani. Shrima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Reading today from 1st Canto, chapter 15, text number 39. And my first words are, if the speakers who give Bhagavatam class can put the bookmarker in place, it really helps for the next day person to find where the verse is. Hare Krishna. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tutodayam Udhirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan. Unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Reading from text 39 today. Maturayam tata vajram.
Maturayam
tata vajram. Surasena patimtata.
Surasena patimtata.
Surasena patimtata.
Surasena patimtata.
Prajapatyam nirupyeshtim.
Prajapatyam nirupyeshtim.
Prajapatyam nirupyeshtim.
Prajapatyam nirupyeshtim.
Agnin api vat ishvara. Maturayam tata vajram.
Maturayam tata vajram.
Surasena patim tata.
Surasena patim tata.
Prajapatyam nirupyeshtim.
Prajapatyam nirupyeshtim.
Agnim api vat ishvarad.
Agnim api vat ishvarad.
Please chant.
Maturayam tata vajram.
Prajapatyam nirupyeshtim.
Agnim api vat ishvarad. Agnim api vaishnavan.
Maturayam tata vajam.
Surasena patim tata.
Surasena patim tata.
Prajapatyam yuyeshikam.
Prajapatyam yuyeshikam.
Agnim api
vaishnavan.
Maturayam
tata vajam.
Surasena patim tata.
Prajapatyam
yurukshishim.
Agnim api
vaishnavan.
Maturayam tata vajam.
Surasena patim tata.
Prajapatyam nirupyeshtim.
Agnim api
vaishnavara.
Maturayam.
At Mathura.
At Mathura.
Tata.
Also.
Vajram.
Vajra.
Surasena
patim.
The king of the Surasenas.
Tata.
Thereafter.
Prajapatyam.
The Prajapatya
sacrifice.
Nirupya.
Having performed. Ishtim.
Goal.
Agnim.
Fire.
Apibat.
Placed in himself.
Ishvara.
Capable.
Translation
imperfect by His Divine Grace,
A.C.
Bhaktivedanta
Swami
Srila
Prabhupada.
He
then
posted Vajra,
the son
of Aniruddha,
the
grandson
of Lord
Krishna
at Mathura,
as the
king of
Surasena.
Afterwards,
Maharaj Yudhisthira
performed a
Prajapatya
sacrifice
and
placed
in himself
the
fire
for
quitting
household
life.
Let's say
it together.
Then
he posted
Vajra,
the son
of Aniruddha,
grandson
of Krishna,
at
Mathura,
as the
king of
Surasena.
Afterwards,
Maharaj
Yudhisthira
performed
the
Prajapatya
sacrifice
and
placed
in himself
the
fire
for
quitting
household
life.
Om
Ajnati
Mirandasya
Jananjana
Salakaya
Chakshuru
Militam
Jena
Tasmai
Sri Gurave
Namaha.
I was
born in the
darkness of
ignorance, and
my spiritual
master
very
kindly
forced
open
my eyes
with
the
torchlight
of knowledge.
I am
totally
indebted
to him
and beg
for
service
life after
life.
Srila
Prabhupada's
purport.
Maharaj
Yudhisthira,
after
placing
Maharaj
Parikit
on
the imperial
throne
of Hastinapur,
and
after
posting
Vajra,
the
great
grandson
of Lord
Krishna,
as
the
king of
Mathura,
accepted
the
renounced
order
of life.
So
here
we
see
already
that
Maharaj
Yudhisthira
was
preparing.
He
was preparing
before
this
incident
of
Arjuna
coming
back to
Dwarka.
He
was
preparing
his whole
life
for
this
time.
He
prepared
his whole
life
to rule
the
kingdom,
and
he
was
also
mindful
that
he
wasn't
going to
rule
the kingdom
forever.
Till
somehow
Prabhupada
says,
sometimes
he
says,
till
the...
He
phrases it
in
some unique
ways.
To the
very
end
of his days.
He
doesn't
stay
to
the
very
end
of
his
days
in
his
administrative
post,
but he's
aware
of his
prime
duty
in
life.
So
these
preparations,
these
activities
that he
did of
posting
Maharaj
Parikit
after
he had
heard of
Maharaj
Parikit's
qualifications,
he
posted
Maharaj Parikit
as the
emperor
of the
whole
world.
And
then
now
he's
also
further,
more
details,
he's
posting
Vajra,
the
great
grandson
of
Krishna,
as
in
Mathura.
And
his,
and
it's
when we
go
to
Vrindavan
these
days,
if
we can
ever
go
again,
we
go
to
different
sites.
Many,
many,
many
of
these
sites
have
been
established
by
Vajra.
And
many
deities
were
established
by
Vajra.
and depicting the transcendental pastime places where the Lord performed his activities. So we still to this day benefit from Bhadra's activities thousands and thousands of years ago. He had a particular, Bhadra had a particular problem, a unique problem when he started to go, when he went to Mathura to rule over that area, Mathura Vrindavan. And the problem that he had was everybody had gone. Nobody was there. So you can imagine for being given that responsible post, and then you go there, and there's nobody there. It was a little hard for him. And then, was it Sandilya Muni? There was some Muni. I saw that you were shaking your head, but somebody probably knows.
Sandilya Muni.
It was? Okay.
Yes, and Bhagiri Bhaguri.
Yeah, who helped him reestablish and have the, you know, make it favorable for the people to come and repopulate the area again. And encourage him. Just hang in there. It's not always going to be like this. Okay, so now Srila Prabhupada talks, the rest of this purport talks mostly, he emphasizes the glories and purpose of the Vanashram system. So the system of the four orders of life and four castes in terms of quality and work are known as Vanashram Dharma. This is the beginning of real human life. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, as the protector of this system of human activities, timely retired from active life as a sannyasi, handing over the charge of the administration to a trained prince, Maharaj Parikshit. The scientific system of Varnashram Dharma divides the human life into four divisions of occupation and four orders of life. The four orders of life as brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas are to be followed by all, irrespective of the occupational division. So we'll just speak about that a little bit. So this brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasi, these are terms for different stages of life. And these stages of life are to be engaged in by all different people, no matter what your work occupation is. So brahmachari means the celibate student life. It's the time of life when one studies the scriptures, remains celibate, serves the spiritual master, and develops a very strong religious code in life and understanding of religious principles. And ultimately what's the goal of life? This is what Vanashram Dharma is talking about. Prabhupada says, this is, Vanashram Dharma is the beginning of human life. Vanashram Dharma means that it's a progressive, it's a system meant to facilitate progressive development of consciousness so that one actually understands that this life and my activities in life aren't meant just for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They're meant for a higher purpose. Human form of life, Srila Prabhupada has told us a million times, but before that we hadn't heard it. The human form of life is meant for actually developing our consciousness to such a state of purity and developing love for the Lord to such a state that we actually totally transcend this material world, which is characterized by birth, growth, byproducts, old age, disease, and death. You can't escape it. If you're born in a king's family and you have all facilities at hand, or you're born as a poor, you know, a street person, you know, never having adequate shelter, still the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease are going to afflict you all the time. But the human form of life is meant to transcend that, and we have that opportunity. And we can see, even in ourselves, having come in contact with this movement in Srila Prabhupada's books and his constant constantly reminding us of the higher values of life, still are practically our go-to state is, how can I enjoy How can I be comfortable? How can I counteract the humidity? How can I counteract the heat? How can I get enough to eat? You know, whatever, whatever. You know, whatever the circumstances. That's our... And Prabhupada says, also in this first canto, in the purport, he says, because the conditioned soul has been in contact with material energy for so long, it's not easy to give that up, that identification with the body and identification with my personal sense enjoyment. It's not easy to give it up. But we have the opportunity, and Prabhupada has assured us many times, that if we take to this process sincerely, with one-pointed attention, tibrena bhakti yogena, with one-pointed attention, that even in this one life of practice, it is possible to transcend. But anyway, so the system of varnashram is meant so that it facilitates that. So there's the student life, brahmachari. Then there's as the majority of the people take to grihastha, they become married, and there's a household of life. But because of the training, the religious training in the brahmachari life, then the householder life is also focused, it continues to focus on spiritual advancement. So there's householder life, and then there's the stage after 25 or a bit longer years. There's the, okay, now it's time to separate. Now it's time to focus in. Srila Prabhupada is going to say here, if I ever get to it, I will, that at least 15 of 20 years of our life, at the end of our life, 15 to 20 years at the end of our life should be focused on renunciation. Hare Krishna. So, and then there's sannyas. After practicing separation and detachment from family life, then there's sannyas, full-fledged taking up the renounced order. So those are the divisions of the orders of life. And then there's the occupation, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. But all of these stages, the student stage, married stage, separated, and it should be practiced by everyone, Srila Prabhupada says. Interesting. Okay, then he goes on to say, modern politicians do not wish to retire from active life, even if they are old enough. But Yudhisthira Maharaj is an ideal king. He voluntarily retired from active administrative life to prepare himself for the next life. Here it is, what Prabhupada says. Everyone's life must be so arranged that at the last stage of life, say at least 15 to 20 years prior to death, can be absolutely devoted to the devotional service of the Lord to attain the highest perfection of life. Wow. That was my reaction when I read that. Because we, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he gives us these instructions, but sometimes he gives us the instructions with a little nuance added to it that makes it like really hit home more. So when he said at least 15 to 20 years before the end of life, and who knows when that end of life is, but if you've made it to the point where you have gray hair, there's not much time left, you know? So 15 to 20 years of life absolutely dedicated to spiritual progress. Now, how sometimes we have that cavalier attitude. I just remembered that word because Mukhi mentioned it in one of her announcements, a few blazing announcements back. that cavalier attitude that I'll take up Krishna, I'll be more serious later. Right now I've got to get some money, I've got to da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and those are real pressures. We're not saying it's false, but there has to be the priority there. We can't just take up serious spiritual life seriously at the end of our life if we haven't practiced before. At least practice a favorable attitude toward it. You know what I mean? That's also important. Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, someplace, he says that even if one's not able to follow all the rules and regulations strictly, if one is at least favorably inclined and desires to do it, they'll get the benefit. They'll get the benefit. So we have to develop a favorable attitude and be inclined to, yes, I'm going to become more and more serious in my spiritual life, and therefore, perhaps I can't do everything that I would like to do right now in regards to taking care of my spiritual life, but at least I'm going to do this and this and this. At least I'm going to try. I remember one Vaisheshika Prabhu's lectures, one of his millions of lectures. He was saying we should wedge in our spiritual practices, just wedge it in as much as we can get every day. So a wedge starts out, one end of it is very thin and then gradually gets thicker and thicker. It's like a sideways, like a tipped over triangle. You know, so you start off, so we're basics, maybe 16 rounds is difficult, some rounds. And then what? Increase them. I remember hearing years ago when I lived in 55th Street Temple, so who knows what year, that was like 76 or 77, 55th Street, it was Kartik time, and somebody was making an announcement at the beginning of Kartik, and he was saying that it's very good to increase your rounds during Kartik. So why not just take one extra round and chant one extra round during Kartik? And I thought, well, I can do that. So you chanted one extra round for that month, and then at the end of the month I thought, well, I'll just keep that. You know, I'll just keep it. And then the next year came and we chanted one extra round. And you just kind of keep it. It's a very, sorry to put this word, it's a very painless way. It's a very doable, that's a better word, right? It's very doable. It's a very doable way to increase one's devotional service. Then there's the other suggestion, just chant a chapter of the Gita a day. If you can chant the Sanskrit, great. If you can chant just the English, great. But just chant a chapter of the Gita every day. You just wedge in. That's only like 10 or 15 minutes, except for those long, long chapters. You can do half and half. It's just a little bit. But the point is that what we're remembering or trying to remember or trying to prioritize our life so that our spiritual progress is the most important. Yes, there's other demands, family demands, bodily demands, social demands, etc., etc. They're there. They exist. They need to be dealt with. But prioritize our life so that our spiritual progress is the most important thing. And everything else, all our other decisions, revolve around that primary decision. My spiritual life, my progress in spiritual life is the most important thing to me. And therefore, I don't think I'm going to take a career as whatever. Right now I'm blank. But, you know, some career that will be so demanding that I won't have any time, or I'm not going to take a career to be the manager of Publix. Sorry, I'm just saying this. Because it'll involve breaking the four regulative principles. Okay? So I don't choose that, because my spiritual progress is like, and I've offended somebody, please forgive me, but I'm just trying to make a point here. Okay? You know, or, you know, well, you have to think of those things. What's our priority? Okay. I'll go back to the point. Sorry. It's really foolishness. This is Prabhupada's purpose. It is really foolishness to engage oneself all the days of one's life in material enjoyment and fruitive activities. Because as long as the mind remains absorbed in fruitive work for material enjoyment, there is no chance of getting out of conditional life for material bondage. No one should follow the suicidal policy of neglecting one's supreme task of attaining the highest perfection of life, namely to go back home, back to Godhead. End of Srila Prabhupada's purport. So as been stated many, many times, Srila Prabhupada has packed so much information into this first three volumes of the Bhagavatam, because in his beginning endeavor to translate the Bhagavatam to English, he wasn't 100% sure. You never know. Am I going to be able to do this whole, all 12 cantos? So let me get the most into this first canto. And then also, some person was saying that he even tried to put all of that and summarize it in this first volume of the first canto. So there's so much information here that can be fluffed out. That reminds me of those tulis, the tuli pads, that when Lord Jagannath comes off the altar and to go onto his rock cart, he's transported from one tuli pad to another tuli cushion. And when the heavy body of Lord Jagannath gets placed on the cushion oftentimes breaks. I don't know why. It breaks and the cotton fluffs up into the air. So Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's describing those pads, they're compressed cotton, so, and then the cotton gets expanded out. So these purports of Srila Prabhupada, they have so much information that we can expand on for quite some time. But the point being here, and in this section of Maharaj Yudhisthira's retiring and all the Pandavas retiring, when it came time, they struggled through their whole life. Their father was killed untimely, or whatever, died untimely is a better word. He died untimely at a young age. The boys were very young. Going back to the palace, there were so many intrigues. We're all familiar. We've heard so many stories of the intrigues that the Kauravas placed in front of the Pandavas to try to rid them from the face of the earth at an early stage because they figured it would be easier when they're younger. Still, they couldn't do it. So their whole life was trials and tribulations, you know. But when it came, and then, you know, the exile, etc., the battle, everything was very momentous and very trying for them. Then reinstatement on the throne as the king of the world, Samrat, that was the word in yesterday's verse, Samrat, he was the emperor of the world. Even he was, after all of that, he was still hesitant to take it up, thinking he was unworthy. But when he got the notification that Krishna's left the planet, Maharaj Yudhisthira wasn't hesitant at all. He knew what his duty was. And besides that, Narada also had forewarned him. You know, when Krishna leaves the planet, you should also leave too. So he took it up. He didn't fight it. He didn't try to, oh, but they need me. Who's going to help? Who's going to do it after I'm gone? That's a little thing the mind comes up with. No one will be able to do it like I do it, so maybe I should stay. I should sacrifice and stay because of whatever, because my service is so important. And it is. It's responsible. He didn't hesitate for a second because he understood that everything is controlled by the Supreme Lord. Everything is controlled. The kingdom existed before he was there, before Maharaj Yudhisthira was there. The kingdom will exist after he's gone. It will exist. The world will go on after we leave our bodies, surprisingly enough, even though we think that, you know, it might not be the same. Believe me, in 2 days, no one's going to remember my name, you know? It'll go on. The world will go on in its own way because that's the nature of the material world. That's the plan of the Lord. And we'll have our own trials and tribulations. But if we take advantage of some of the information that Srila Prabhupada has given us, some of it, what to speak of if we took advantage of all the information that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and we keep our priority, our spiritual progress is a priority, then as life will continue to go on, it won't change the events in your life. It won't mean that we won't have trials and tribulations or challenges in so many ways. We will have those challenges, but we'll be fortified against the pernicious effect. How's that? the pernicious effect of the different circumstances that we're in, so that we'll be able to, as they say, keep our heads up above water, keep our mind focused on the lotus feet of the Lord, on devotional service, on Krishna's lotus feet. And in that way, the tossing and turnings of the waves of material existence, they won't affect you as deeply. Hare Krishna. So anyway, that was the point. Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas and his brothers, and Kunti and Subhadra and Gandhari, oh yeah, she's already taken care of. Kunti and Subhadra, they were ready in a second to give up these things. No problem. No problem. Because they had been trained from early birth, and they had kept that priority, the focus of their spiritual life intact. So, a fine example for all of us. And not just, oh, that was 5,000 years ago, and now we should do something different. The mind will think of so many things. It's not possible. It's not the same. I'm not in Maharaj Yudhisthira. I'm this, I'm that. It's Kali Yuga now, and this one. The mind will say so many things, and it'll have so much validity to it. Just hang it up. Sorry, spam. Anyway, any comments or discussions or corrections? I'm sure there's a few corrections.
Whenever I think of renunciation, I always focus on Krishna Prabhupada's simple word. It's like a Sanskrit thing. He said renunciation is the result of genuine spiritual emotion. So renunciation should not be practiced separately. We have the attachment to serve Krishna and Vaishnava should be promoted.
Thank you. And the Sanskrit verse, Bhagavad Gita verse, Param Drishtva Nivartate. When one experiences the higher taste from spiritual activities, then the lower taste of material pleasures is very easy to give up because there's no comparison. Thank you for that. Param Drishtva Nivartate. By experience, in other words, although we're speaking about renouncing, it's not a question of dry renunciation. Not a question of I'm renouncing for the sake of renouncing because I should renounce because I'm supposed to be renounced, and even though I don't want to be renounced, I'm going to renounce. That's not a safe path to follow. A safer path to reach that goal would be, let me engage in devotional service, let me intensify my desire and my hankering and my longing and whatever, and therefore try to experience that higher taste by chanting better rounds, reading more, speaking more, blah, blah, blah. And that way, that taste from those activities increases so much that I see that it becomes very clear that there's a taste here. There's pleasure, there's a spiritual pleasure there that supersedes the paltry pleasures of eating ice cream. There's something on my mind lately, ice cream, sorry.
Actually, the truth is that if we apply what we know and we stay engaged in Christian service, personally I do it on a daily basis because I have to. If I don't, I'm scared of me because I'm weak. So if I don't get up and practice every single day, I feel like I'm farther away from Prabhupada and Krishna. So. But I also have personal experience that when I apply it, it's not so hard. It sounds really hard when somebody says, we give up these paltry pleasures of the material world. You start to fall a lot. But the truth is that if you have that problem in your spine, like that, they have higher
pages. Yeah.
But I know when I find myself and actually practice this, then I'm protected for another day. And that's kind of how I do it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Like an alcoholic, you know, one day at a time. And if you follow, though, it actually works even for the Jagais and Madais of us, you know,
right.
Really exact to the
correct. Thank you for sharing that. And also another thing that just entered my mind while you were speaking was, we have a conception, we have a conception that at being in the Association of Devotees for some time, that renunciation looks like this. It looks like saffron, and it looks like a stick, and it might look like that for some people, and that's okay. But let me develop my, my personal application of that, and it might not be the same configuration. Does that come out okay? No. Sorry. Anything else? Bhagavati Ji.
I always think of Guru Goswami's Yukta Vairagya. You know, that I love nice food, but I'm trained to offer it to Krishna. You make it in such a way. And this, it actually is a renunciation. If you see the beautiful thing, you're just like, no, until it's offered, I won't think about it. And then that becomes, especially for devotees that are cooking, these festivals come. And the amazing things that devotees come out with. I mean, a person can come just off the street and think, oh God, you guys are really enjoying it. It's true.
Yep.
We're enjoying Krishna's remnants. And I just remembered Satyakarj in one poem years ago, talking about Janmasthami. He said, all day long, the devotees don't eat. And that is a special treat. Because they're cooking for Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Thanks. And that's what makes renunciation, in a sense, easy when it's offered to the Lord. That's what makes our whole progress in Krishna consciousness easy, quote unquote easy, because if we experience the higher taste of the bliss of the kirtans, or hearing, or chanting, or whatever, or seeing the form of the Lord, or doing some service, if we experience that higher taste, then automatically all those things become real. Yes, Prabhu, tricky crown.
There you go. Some grihasthas feel that they can do more, maybe achieve more preaching together than in separation. I mean, is this a default, or is this okay, or how do we see?
Among Lord Chaitanya's associates, there are many grihasthas. So it's not that, in that, I didn't speak about it very much, you're correct, but I just tried to cover that base a little bit, that renunciation might look different to different people. It might not be actual taking of sannyas, because we also have the warning from Lord Chaitanya himself that in Kali Yuga, sannyas isn't the most recommended process for everybody. Better that we stay safely situated, and that's what Prabhupada's attitude was. Even if one of his sannyasi disciples was having difficulty, Prabhupada said, better to come to the grihastha platform and be safe and continue your engagement in devotional service than to go away. So a blanket statement saying that everyone should take sannyas, that's not appropriate. But again, that cultivation of detachment has to be there, you know, and how that takes shape. Thank you very kindly. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Once you talk to yourself, you talk to yourself, you talk to yourself.